Body,
Welcome
Mind,
to the Ask
Spirit
Dr.
Radio,
Show.
Your live connection to the information for a healthy body, an enlightened mind, and a renewed spirit.
Hi, this is Liz Jelinek. Welcome to the Ask Dr. Liz Show. I'm going to deviate slightly today. What happened in Orlando this past weekend. Friday evening, after a concert, a young rising star, a singer, was gunned down for no apparent reason. Her brother attacked the shooter, and lives were saved, but not hers. The next night, in the gay club, the safe place for the LGBT community, a young man, an American citizen, came with assault rifles and other guns and killed 49 people, and he himself was killed. Then this yesterday morning, in the same city, a child of two was playing near the water at the safest, the happiest place on earth, Disney World. And the child was swallowed, we assume, lost to his father who searched for him the entire night. So within a short time, 48 hours, so many lives were lost in one city that's reeling from the events that's ricocheted around the world. Went was a safe place. Scott Pelley on the CBS Morning News this morning said, it seems that in 2016, there are no more safe places, not in church, not in a movie theater, not at a marathon, not at work, and not at Sandy Hook Elementary School. Malcolm Gladstone, 5-time New York Times and well-known professor, and Andrew St. Just, who's a trauma specialist and family constellation practitioner, both have written about the fact that they believe that this all started with Columbine and it changed the future of the United States. Gladstone said this morning that it has nothing to do with how many assault rifles are in. Whether we change the laws or don't change the laws about who can get them. However, 90%, 92% of people on the terrorist watch list in the United States were able to buy assault rifles in the last year. Something not quite right going on. So I'd like to take a moment, think of all that we've lost, and the courage of the survivors and those who carried the folks out of the bar, the club, and the amazing team of doctors that saved everyone who made it to the hospital. And we look to the rainbow now, which is the flag of the LGBT community. The rainbow that shines the brightest after a storm. Sorry for the emotion. This really, really touched me. Is there anything that you'd like to add, Rosalie? I know you have some connection in your family with that community.
It is very sad. And there is no logic to it.
Right.
But you have some thoughts on that.
Yeah. So we're talking today about family constellations and what shall I say? An enthusiast for family constellations. Family Constellations was created back in the early 1990s by French, German psychotherapist and former priest. Boy, I'm tongue-tied. This really shook me up for a minute. Anyway, he, what's his name, Rosalind? You can't remember either. Okay, Hellinger.
Oh, you mean his name?
Okay. Yeah, that's fine.
Hi, Rosalie. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Okay. We're just waiting for Liz to call back in. It looks like she got disconnected. So in the meantime, Liz, if you can hear us, give us a call back in to the show. I know that she was talking before she got cut off about the incident that had happened over the weekend and the tragedy of it. And she had mentioned that it kind of hit home with you as well. So do you have any thoughts on what happened, or is there any prayers that you would like to send out to the victims?
Well, of course. The first thing that I did was go to my altar and lit a candle and read prayers for the victims and their loved ones.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know that she mentioned that it kind of hit a little close to home to you. So did you know one of the victims?
No, I have family members and many friends who are part of the LGBTQ community. And I know how deeply everyone is affected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely a really bad tragedy to lose so many lives so quickly and in that matter. You know, not that we should ever lose a life in that matter, but the situation itself was very, very tragic. You know, it shouldn't have happened to begin with. but I also have a lot of friends in the community as well. So it definitely hit me, at a great loss too. Liz, if you're listening to the show, we're going to ask that you call back in. Now, Rosalie, can you tell us a little bit until she comes back on to the show, about yourself and, your history with the Holocaust?
Sure. So my mother lived in Vienna, Austria during the Holocaust years, and she was just barely able to escape on a children's transport. And she spent a year in Belgium and England, and then finally was reunited with her mother and sister in New York. So she was 14 years old when she was, well, it's a kind of a weird story. You were supposed to be up to 12 years old on this children's transport, but my mother was small, and there was a friend of her mother's who managed to say that she was 12 years old and get her on this transport. So I'm the oldest of four girls, and my mother was very deeply affected by the things that she experienced in terms of her own fears, and she did experience the Nazi soldiers in the city and everything that was going on, and her father's business was taken over. And then her father died, they think, sort of a broken heart with everything that was going on and losing his business. And so my mother experienced a lot of loss, a lot of fear, and she didn't see the world as a safe place, even once she made it to America. And that was communicated to us. And so when I was growing up, I had a lot of love for my mother and a lot of compassion, and I wanted to support her. And so I took in, I internalized her burdens. And found it hard to focus on myself. I tried to help everyone else in my family.
Did she ever talk about what she went through? To you or to the family?
So when I was very young, the way that I learned about it would be, like, this is when I was 5 years old, sitting at the table with her. She would hear an airplane go by, and she would have some sort of a panic attack.
Mm-hmm.
And I would sit with her and hold her hand and listen to her while she cried and talked about, you know, why she was having all this fear. And, you know, like the curtains in the house would be closed, the sun wouldn't come in. At times that she was really depressed, and there were times like that. And she was afraid to take care of the business of everyday life, like use the telephone to take care of business matters. She was scared to go grocery shopping. So the world really seemed like an unsafe place to her, and then that was conveyed.
I can only imagine. I can only imagine. It must be very hard growing up in that type of situation because, as you said, you took on your mother's burden. So do you feel like you have some of those same fears as she did?
Oh, yeah. So I really didn't understand until my work with constellations that my sense of hypervigilance and
Hi, I'm back. I will certainly not be using a phone after this. I'll get a microphone and stay connected. I apologize. Where were we? I was asking you, Rosalie, if you could, I don't know how much any of you heard.
We didn't hear a lot of this, but I've been kind of talking to Rosalie before you came back. So she was just talking about her story and how she grew up with her mom who went through the Holocaust. So I'm going to hand it back over to you.
What was the last thing that was broadcast, Courtney?
Before you dropped off, you had just started to talk about family constellations and where the concept came from. And then you just came back now. So,
I'll go back and go over that a little bit. Bert Hellinger, so you heard about his journey to the Zulu peoples in South Africa, correct?
No.
That part I never could hear.
Right, you weren't connected, that's why. So Bert Hellinger created Family Constellations, and he grew up in Nazi Germany. He was born in 1925. As a young man, he attended a monastery school, and because of the particular form of Catholicism that his parents practiced, he did not adhere to the teachings of the National Socialist Party, and so he refused to join the Hitler Youth, which all young people in Germany were required to do. So he became known as an enemy of the state and was about to be, there was a warrant for his arrest. I'm going to have to skip over quite a bit. Bert Hellinger spent 16 years with the Zulu peoples in South Africa, and he became an educator. He had a school, and he sent more young Africans to college than anybody else had ever done. Towards the end of his tenure there, a group of American missionaries from the Anglican Church came over, and they held the very first ever ecumenical workshop in group dynamics. And ecumenical, it was certainly across religious barriers, but it was also ecumenical insofar it was the very first time that people of different races were gathered together in the same place at the same time. And this was kind of a revolutionary experience for Bert Hellinger. And they taught from a phenomenological position, which was everybody is to be taken as he or she is at the moment without judgment and without rules. Bert had a spiritual awakening as a result of that and realized that he had grown up his entire life following somebody else's rules, first those of the Nazi party and then the rules of the Catholic Church. So he left the priesthood right then and came back to Germany, to Europe, where he studied philosophy, in particular phenomenology, and he also went to the Vienna School of Analytic Studies and became a trained analyst. He discovered that what was missing from his work was the body, and so he came to the United States to study with Arthur Janoff, who created the primal screen. The two didn't get along very well. I don't know if any of you has been around long enough to remember Arthur Janoff, but he was pretty controversial for a lot of people. And so anyway, he dropped out after 6 months of the 9-month training program, and then he went on to train with in Virginia Satir's family system therapy. He studied brief therapy with Milton Erickson, who was also a hypnotherapist. He studied NLP. He studied Ivan Boris Menyanagi. I can't pronounce it right, but anyway, he was the very first person to ever add a third or fourth generation to any kind of family therapy. He really liked Eric Byrne, who created transactional analysis, and he loved Eric Byrne's life script, but he really felt that Eric didn't go back far enough. He'd been strongly influenced by the Zulu peoples and their reverence for the ancestors, and he believes that we in the West had lost that reverence and wanted to include that in whatever kind of therapy that he was creating. So he did that, and he went back to Europe and began teaching this to various people. I had the real distinct privilege of studying with every single one of the original facilitators and trainers that Bert had trained himself. I went to Europe many times and was able to bring that to Ann Arbor, and I opened the Midwest Institute, and that's about when I met Rosalie. Oh, no, I met Rosalie before that when I was teaching a class in mindfulness meditation. So you heard a little bit about Rosalie's background, and Rosalie grew up in a pretty chaotic household. What was not very well known was that in addition to the trauma that Rosalie's mother experienced as a result of the Holocaust, and that was pretty well known, but Angrene St. Juste, whom I mentioned earlier, also did some work on those soldiers who were in the South Pacific, not necessarily everyone directly related to the bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, but anyone who was in that vicinity on that day when the bomb was dropped was also carrying that trauma. So Rosalie had a double whammy, and when I met Rosalie, she probably has already told you that she was in therapy for many, many years. And what we didn't know until we pursued this a little further is that Rosalie had full-blown PTSD. And with the help of Family Constellations, we have helped Rosalie to overcome that. And it's one of the things that I have written about, and it's an epigenetic thing, and I won't get into that today because it's kind of complicated, but it's the idea that in addition to what was already known in Family Constellations, that the knowing field carried this information from the ancestors. We now know, as a result of recent research in the last 10 to 15 years, that there is a biological component of that as well. So I let you go ahead, Rosalie, and why don't we talk about how Family Constellations has helped you to become the person that you are today. You're still Rosalie, but you are, I would say, a calmer, less frightened, and more engaged person than the person I met so many years ago.
That is very true. I'm much more able to function productively in the world, and now I manage my PTSD by acknowledging it and it giving it a space to address it first thing in the day, and then if something comes up in the day, I deal with it, but it's much more intermittent than it ever was before.
It was really pervasive when I met you, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yes, one of the first times that we met for that kind of work, I positioned myself close to the stairway and looked around for what were my escape routes.
Right. So one of the things that we know, and you and I talked about this recently, is that it sounds like you're doing it. What we need to do with our fears and so on is to embrace them and not try to shove them down, because you become what you resist, and the more you pretend you don't have PTSD, pretend you don't have fears, pretend you were not living in a traumatic household, then it takes you over. And when you acknowledge that it's there, then you can move forward. Would that sound accurate to you?
Yes. Very much so.
So what family constellations suggest is that some of us, many of us, very early in life, out of love, take on the fate of the ancestors. And Rosalie had lost a sister before she was born, and that's relevant, and we won't go into it, but it has some impact. But Rosalie made a decision as a very tiny child that it was her job to take care of that family. And that's a heavy burden for someone to take on in very early in life and to carry it. And so it's been quite a struggle, I would say, to help Rosalie to understand that the burden belongs to the ancestors and not to her, and so that she can give the burden, the ancestors' fate, back to them and move forward. Would you like to describe your final meeting with your mother before the last day of her life when you went to visit her in the fall?
At that point...
I'm going to just, if you don't mind, what we talk about in family constellations is reconciliation. A lot of therapy in the past has been banishment, exclusion, get rid of, my mother's a this and my father was a that. But what we do in family constellations is we include, we embrace, and we bring in. So this is Rosalie's reconciliation with mother.
Yeah. So the reconciliation did not happen suddenly. It happened over time and then was able to really be fruitful before she passed. So I just wanted to communicate that a lot of effort and willingness to deal with the reconciliation happened in steps before then.
It's important, though, and this is what really struck me, is Rosalie worked on this by herself, with me, with the group, and not with her mother. And one of the fascinating things about family constellations is that any healing passes down, but it also passes back. So what was fascinating to me was that time that Rosalie went to be with her mother. Her mother was the one who ended the healing. And I believe her words to you were something like, "You've come far enough."
Mm-hmm. Yes, and she said, you always are thinking about me. And I'm concerned about how tired you are. So how about you just walk me half of the way, and I will walk myself the rest of the way.
So that was Rosalie's mother's recognition that the burden was hers to carry. And so she took it and walked the rest of the way down that hallway alone. Whereas virtually Rosalie's entire life, her mother had turned to her and leaned on her. So that, I mean, I'm so thrilled about Rosalie's progress and the hard work that she's put in. But to me, the magic took place that day when your mom was healed.
Yeah. It was a great relief.
Yeah. And that's why we do the work that we do. Do you have any questions, Courtney, that you would like to ask?
I was going to ask
Rosalie. If you don't, it's okay.
I was going to ask, Rosalie, if, you know, towards the end when you heard those words, were you able to forgive? Did you find forgiveness in that situation?
We don't forgive. We don't forgive. That's really
okay.
A good question. And I'll tell you why. Because Bert says that we are not that big. That all forgiveness takes place somewhere else. We reconcile, but we let whatever forgiveness that needs to take place. I never heard him use the word God with regards to that specific issue, but that's what he's talking about. He talks a lot about being too big and being too little. And so what Rosalie did in her family, she was too big. She was too big for her comfort and for her growth, and she carried burdens that were not hers. And so it isn't a matter of forgiving her mother, because that was Rosalie's choice. Rosalie took her mother's burden willingly, as each of us does who carries the burden of the ancestors. So not only do we not forgive, there is no forgiveness that's necessary, because the healing is the reconciliation and the release of the burden that we each have been carrying. That's a whole new way of looking at things, Courtney, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Very much so.
And
can I say
there
something?
Are people... Please.
So in terms of the idea of forgiveness and the process that took me to that place with my mother, over time with constellations, one of the things I was able to slowly build up and experience was the idea that my mother had my back, which in the beginning I did not experience. So practicing that and feeling it inside of me, and the last thing to do before I went to sleep at night was, you know, say that my mother has my back. And even if she couldn't physically do it in a way in my life that I would have liked, that in her soul she loved me and she has my back. For me, building that up was not forgiveness, but making that shift from the sense that the ancestors were not there for me, and then building up the sense that the ancestors are there for me.
Mm-hmm. So that was something that Bert Hellinger learned from the Zulu people, because they hold the ancestors in great reverence. And the Western mind has not been so kind to the ancestors as some of the other peoples around the world. People in China, people in India have a whole lot more respect and reverence for the ancestors than we do here. And so if I can't think of my ancestors with reverence, I can't make that switch that Rosalie was able to make to the idea that my ancestors are there for me, because they are. And one of the techniques that we use is to go all the way back. Rosalie was able to do it with her mother, and that's fantastic. But sometimes we must go back all the way to a healed ancestor. There is one out there for everyone. And to have that sense of healing being passed down, because Hellinger again talks about the orders of love, And the orders of love say that love begins with the oldest and is passed down. So that's why we can understand that the ancestors there are there. They have our back, regardless of what our childhood felt like. It was not Rosalie's mother's intent, nor her father's. They were not mean, nasty, horrid people. It was their own trauma that made them incapable of being, quote, normal parents, whatever that is. Your questions are very helpful, Courtney, so I encourage you to ask any others you might have.
Do you find that this, process works for anyone who has trauma, or these specific traumas?
It does. Whatever the trauma is, if a person is willing to commit to the process, because whatever trauma is happening in this life, there is a corollary in the previous lives of the ancestors. So we've taken on, in the same way that we were talking in the beginning about Columbine being sort of the genesis of all this horror that's going on in this country, there's a whole lot of stuff to do with Columbine, for example, that goes way, way, way back before the shooting that happened in the school that day. And there's systemic trauma, and it gets passed on. So can you think of a situation, and let's see if we can give you some ideas of how that would work to heal that other trauma?
A specific trauma I've been through?
Well, it doesn't matter. If you feel comfortable sharing your own story, if you know someone else, if that's more comfortable, that's okay too.
I think one of the worst traumas I've been through is similar to Rosalie's, that even at a young age, I took on my mother's burdens, that my mother leaned heavily on me and kind of pushed me to be the adult more than experience my own life. So I can really relate to Rosalie's story because I feel like I went through some of the same things.
So this is an absolutely perfect problem. It is a problem. Parentification is a huge burden, and absolutely this is something that constellations can help you with.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be my pleasure to spend some time with you to see what we could do. We can do trauma in trauma. We can do constellations individually, and I have little people, the Playmobil figures that I use, and so the group is great. We meet periodically. We used to meet every Saturday, and now we meet every once in a while, but perhaps you would like to come to the next workshop and just do a little piece of work and see if we could relieve some of that burden and shift. Because people who've been parentified very often are pretty damn mad at mom.
Yes.
Rosalie wasn't so mad. She was just terrified that she was all alone. But it's more common for people to be angry that mother didn't do her job. You know, why weren't you doing what you were supposed to be doing? I have some of that. My mother wasn't not being a mother, but she did not ever, ever set any rules for me. She would say things like, well, don't be late, dear. And I would feel burdened. Like, why can't you say, come home at 10 o'clock or come home at midnight? She wouldn't do it. So probably every single one of us has some issue with mom. And Hellinger says that everything goes back to mom. So we, in Constellations, we start with mom, and we heal that first. And once that's healed, and Rosalie said it beautifully, I finally was able to experience that my mother had my back. I thought she would deck me, Rosalie, the first time I suggested that was a possibility. She thought I was a raving lunatic. Is that not true, Rosalie?
Yes, and actually I was quite angry that I didn't
I remember that, yeah. So Rosalie just could not imagine that I could suggest that her mother could stand behind her and do her anything but harm. Mm-hmm. So perhaps you can resonate with that, Courtney. So it's sometimes a quick journey, and sometimes it's a longer, depending on the level of trauma and the age of the client and the commitment to being well. But it's miraculous. It's absolutely miraculous. Perhaps you could see the miracle right here today, Courtney.
Yes, I definitely do. I have one other question for you, and
please.
I don't know exactly how to ask this, but I'm going to throw this out there. For someone like Rosalie, whose history of trauma is such a historical event, how do you separate, you know, what's in books and what's being said and what's being historicalized to, you know, from her own personal trauma with her mom? How does Family Constellations help with that type of situation?
So we do both. With Rosalie, we mostly concentrated on mom. We did a little work with dad, but it was mostly about mom. But we can set up the country. If a person, for example, take constellations specifically in Germany and specifically in Israel. So Bert Hellinger has done a lot of work with the progeny of Nazi persecutors and the progeny of the death camp survivors, and put them together all in one room, and it doesn't get more intense than that. And so that's dealing with trauma on a mega level. But see, it's all, no matter where the trauma comes from, mega or micro, it's all the same inside of each of us. So in a workshop that I might do, I would take, if necessary, we didn't have to do it with Rosalie, but if it came up, the representatives speak for the ancestors, and so they tell us what is necessary to do. So let's say you come to a workshop, Courtney, and you prefer to watch first. And so I might say, would you be willing to represent Rosalie's mother or Rosalie's aunt or grandmother? And you would step into the knowing field, the circle, and I would ask you, not what are you feeling, but what's your experience in your body? And so with that, I'm trained well enough to interpret that and to come back with certain phrases. But usually the interaction happens between the client. So you would, as, let's say, Rosalie's grandmother, you would say your experience. Okay, does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. With that, I just want to ask this as a clarification for your listeners. What does, spirit have to do with this? How does the ancestors and spirit, and is this more of a spiritual process as well?
Whatever you think.
Okay.
It crosses belief systems, so it doesn't have to be anything. It's simply that what we call the knowing field, the knowing field carries the fate of the ancestors to the present in the same way that our fate is then carried by our children. And it's really fascinating because my daughter has pretty much avoided constellations, although I've been doing it for many years. And the last time I visited her, she said, I'm really tired of carrying everybody else's stuff. And that's exactly what, if she were a client, I would say to her, give the fate back to your mother. It's hers, not yours, or your father. But she carries a lot of my fate for the same reasons that Rosalie carried my fate. Her father was also a victim of the war and went to high school during the Nazi occupation. His father, my daughter's grandfather, was imprisoned by the Nazis. And so she carries all that trauma. And it's pretty hard to deal with it when you're young. She's at the age now where it's bothering her. And until a certain point in life, the individual in our culture tends to rail. So I wish my mother were this. I wish my father had done that. And so there comes a moment, and I think she's at that moment now where it's time for her to deal with whatever it is that she's carrying that doesn't belong to her. So she would carry her grandfather's torture, because he was not just in prison. He was tortured for 9 months and only lived because the Liberation Army, the Russians, which turned out not to be very liberating at all, so they ultimately escaped from the Czech Republic. So, but all of that historical trauma that my daughter and my son carry in some way has manifested in their life with their parents. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And so is it spiritual? The healing is however you need it to be. And what we call is the knowing field. And as I said earlier, epigenetics shows us that this is biologic as well. So that trauma has changed the expression of the genome of the ancestor, which is then heritable by up to 4 generations, they've proven it. So you change your behavior and your mind and your spirit. There is no separation as I see it, Courtney. So people talk about the mind-body connection. There is no mind-body connection. It's all one. But if we add spirit into the mix, spirit, mind, body, soul, it's all the same. It's all one system that's constantly interacting with the environment around it and changing what is in that individual by virtue of what's happening around him or her. So somebody might be healed by meditating. Somebody might be healed by having a religious experience like Bert Hellinger. Many, many things. So nothing is not possible. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Does that answer your question, though?
Yeah, it does. And thank you so much for clarifying.
Good, because it's important, especially because here we are on Body, Spirit, Mind, Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, and so many of our listeners are going to be spiritually oriented. So I see there is no separation. What about you, Rosalie?
What I was thinking of when she asked the question about the representatives and the knowing field is that in my experience, there's truth comes through the configuration in the knowing field. Through the representatives,
right.
They don't have to know any details at all about your situation. And
This is important. Okay, go ahead and I'll clarify that when you finish.
Okay, so a representative who is able to sense and move around and speak what it is that they're feeling and not know the details of the story, for the client watching, it's an amazing experience, because truth that you didn't really know before historically comes out. It can
Did
be
you
very
understand
powerful.
That, Courtney? Yeah, that is exactly the power of constellations. So the other thing that we can do, we tell very little of the story. So let's say, Courtney, you come to our next workshop and you say, I'd like to do a piece of work. And you would sit down and I would say, Courtney, what would you like to work on? And you would say, your mother, or my mother, rather. We might not say one more thing. Furthermore, we also do blind constellations, so nobody except the client and the facilitator knows anything about even who you're representing. And that's even more amazing, and it works just as well. In fact, it's more spectacular if you're up there as a representative and you don't know the story and you don't know the problem, you don't know the issue, and you speak the truth, just like Rosalie said.
Well,
so is that spirit? I don't know.
Well, it definitely sounds like a very powerful experience.
It really is. It really is. And we've been on a bit of a hiatus, but if you watch the Body, Mind, Spirit Guide, we'll be having more regular workshops coming up in the future again. We were doing it every week, but I think we'll be offering a workshop probably once a month or maybe every 2 months. And we like to keep these fees fairly reasonable so everybody can come. And if there's a problem with fees, something can be worked out as a general rule. I did not last time give out any contact information. Is that something that you recommend that I do, Courtney?
Yes.
So anybody can call me at 734-646-4886. And my email address is lizjelinek@comcast.net. And if you go to Body, Mind, Spirit Guide Radio, and perhaps, Courtney, you can help us with this, and go to the Dr. Liz Fan Club, then you can contact me through there as well. And if you join the fan club, then you can write me any question you want, and I'll get back to you with a personal answer. So I really encourage people to do that. I'm starting a new venture right now, and I'm going to be offering some classes in coaching, and I'll talk more about that next month. And we're going to be concentrating on having a healthy brain. Healthy brain, healthy mind, healthy body, healthy soul. So again, we're going to take it all together and make everything work better. So I'm very excited about that. And I think we're towards the end. I want to thank you, Rosalie, because it's a real privilege to have someone like you share a story that did involve so much trauma. And Courtney, thank you for backing us up, and I will be investing in a microphone, so I can hook up. I'll talk to you later about that. Okay. I don't know what happened, but that's not acceptable. Maybe that's my karma, kept challenges to overcome. Any final comments, Courtney?
No, thank you so much for having me with you guys today. I greatly appreciate it. And thank you so much, Rosalie, for being willing to share your story and talk about that. You should be very proud of yourself for being able to overcome that and be the person you are today.
Thank you.
Thanks,
and I've
Rosalie.
Had good help.
Thank you. Now, it's a real honor to know you and to have been a part of your journey. We sometimes didn't agree, but that's okay too. The road is not always a straight one. And that's important for all of you listeners to hear. If you meet a roadblock in life, go around it, go under it, go over it, stop and stay. Thank you all for joining us. This is Dr. Liz Jelinek. Bye-bye until next month. Thank you, Courtney, and thank you, Rosalie.
Thank you.
Thank you.